Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness in our lives. Lord, as we continue to search the scriptures together, live life together, and live it on purpose, I thank you that you created each and every one of us on purpose and for a specific purpose. I pray we discover it, develop it, and deploy it in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you've been with us, you know again that I'm sharing on the subject of God's purpose for our lives and how that God wants to reveal, make known his purpose in each and every one of our lives. And as I prayed, God wants us to live life on purpose and for a specific purpose. So I'm sharing on how do we discover God's purpose for our lives, and then ultimately, how do we fulfill that purpose? In this session, I want to look at 10 clues that point to God's purpose for your life. 10 things, 10 signs that point to God's purpose for our lives. And this is important on many levels. It's important as a parent that you watch for these signs, these clues in your children, and that you help foster God's purpose for their lives and coach them and guide them toward God's purpose for their lives. It's also important as a grandparent that you know these clues, these signs, and that you work with your grandchildren in the same manner. Also, I believe that this is important for our life groups and that in our life group meetings that you go over these things and you could spend weeks, literally months, on each of these clues and answering and asking questions about these signs, these clues. And that's a part of what our Next Step program is all about, is helping you discover God's purpose for your life. So this is really, really important. I covered 5 of them in our last session. I'll review those and say some things about those that I did not say, and then we'll get into the next 5. All right, let's get started. Number one, if you will, sign of God's purpose is what's in your little book. Your purpose is in a book that according to Psalms 139, verse 16, God wrote. I believe with all my heart that's talking about a book God put on the inside of every one of us. And you could say that's our genetic code, our DNA. That's the book that God wrote when he created you in your mother's womb. That is, if you will, your wheelhouse. You have a wheelhouse. We all have a wheelhouse, a place of expertise, a place in life that we are functional and fruitful, a place in which we have interest. And God wrote that in your little book. He wrote your personality in your little book. That's a part of his amazing grace in your life. He wrote in your little book what kind of person you would be, extroverted, introverted, what your bent in life would be. God wrote in your little book, many of you would be blessed and a blessing working with your hands. Others, you'll be blessed and a blessing working and creating with your mind, et cetera, et cetera. And so a part of coming to know Jesus, a part of pure Christianity and relationship with God is when you come to know Jesus, that's the first thing God begins to do in your life is reveal your little book, reveal his will for your life, his plan for your life, his purpose, because he put it on the inside of you in your little book. Number two, second clue that points to God's purpose and plan for our life is your purpose is nestled in your nature. It's nestled in your nature. You have a certain nature, a bent that God created you for on purpose and for a specific purpose. In other words, what comes natural to you? Because when you're in your purpose, it comes natural. It comes easy. When you get in a field unrelated to your purpose, everything's hard. Life is hard. Everything is difficult. In Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus talked about a yoke and a burden. He said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He's not talking about just spiritual things there. When I'm in my place in life, when I'm on the field of God's purpose for my life, things get easier. When I get out of God's will for my life, when I get away from God's purpose, things become very hard. Now, I could spend some time, we don't have it now, but there is a difference between something being hard and hardship that comes with even following God. If you are experiencing, dear ones, a spiritual hernia, you've picked up something God didn't call you to pick up. Amen. Many of you are carrying a burden God didn't call you to carry. You're yoked up to something that's not God's will for your life. And I mean, it's going to be difficult and hard. What I do is easy for me by nature, but it doesn't mean I don't have hardship involved in what I do. You may be right in the middle of God's purpose and will for your life. You may be operating in your vocation, your calling, and really prospering. It doesn't mean there won't be hard times and hardship. It means by nature, though, you enjoy what you're doing. It's easy for you. That's how you can know God's plan, God's purpose for your life. Number three, third thing is you love what you do and you're good at it. You love what you do and you're good at it. When you're doing what you were created for, when you are operating in your divine design and God's purpose for your life, you love it and you're good at it. Again, it doesn't mean I like everything about my job and everything involved with my job. But I tell you, I love what I do. And if I might say so myself, I'm good at it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Man, that just sounds like arrogance. No, arrogance is rooted in self, independent of God. Arrogance comes from the flesh and living life after the flesh, independent of God. Confidence comes from assurance in God, in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when you find God's purpose, when you unite to God's purpose and plan for your life, you'll discover you're good at what God's called you to do. God didn't call you to fail at His purpose for your life. He called you to be fruitful. He called you to succeed. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branch. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. Verse 8 says that God's glorified when we bear much fruit. You bring glory to God when you're good at what you do. Amen. I'm going to say that one again because some of you are still struggling. You bring glory to God when you're good at what you do. When people are good at what they do after the flesh, they bring glory to themselves. But when you're good at what you do, when you bear fruit at what you do, when you're fruitful in every good work, that's what brings glory to God. Now, I didn't cover Luke 13, verses 6 through 9, concerning you love what you do and you're good at it. Jesus told a parable, a story here, and I want to read it in the New Living Translation. It says, then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. King James Bible says that it is even encumbering the ground. I like that. Verse 8 says, the gardener answered, sir, give me one more chance. Leave it another year, and I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. King James Bible says, we're going to dung it. I like that better. And we'll just leave it at that. But we're going to put a lot of dung on this thing. And something better change, or we're going to cut it down. Verse 9 says, if we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down. See, there's a point where if you're not any good at what you're doing, maybe you need to do something else. Few, that's right. So those are from the older people that have missed God. Hallelujah. Yeah, when you obey God, you become fruitful. When you're abiding in Him and He's abiding in you, you begin to bear much fruit. I don't know who said this, but it's been said that insanity is doing the same thing the same way, expecting different results. There's a point where if it's not working, you need to cut it down. This has served me well in my personal life, in the ministry, in helping other people, that when you connect to your purpose, you will be good at what you do, and you will again, bear much fruit. All right, number four, concerning your purpose, your design matches your purpose. Your design, you have a divine design that matches your purpose. God made you a certain way on purpose for a purpose. You're built a certain way. You're just wired. Your hard drive, Your wiring is wired. Your design matches your purpose. That's why if you get out of your purpose, you don't feel right. You don't function. You're not happy. On and on I could go, because God wired you a certain way. Some people are just wired to be a doctor. Some people are just wired to be a teacher. Some people are literally wired to be a geek. I mean, if you're not wired to be a computer geek and you sit in front of a computer 12 hours a day, you're going to be suicidal. Because it's just not in you. It's not in your hard drive. It's not your divine design. So my design matches my purpose. I keep trying and was trying for years to change me to match what I wanted to do and a purpose. Instead of just abiding in Jesus and my divine design and discovering, wait a minute, this matches what God created me to do and what God created me on purpose for. Again, your divine design matches your purpose. Number five, abiding in your purpose releases potential. Abiding in your purpose is when you begin to release potential. There is untapped potential in each and every one of us. And there was a time in my life that I cannot believe, looking back, how little potential I thought I had. I really did not see myself making a difference. I couldn't see myself doing anything productive on any kind of high level. And on I could go with, I just didn't seem to have the power, the potential, the ability. And it was untapped because I wasn't connected to my purpose. As soon as I got connected to my purpose, I began to see potential I didn't know I had. And I'm telling you, there's potential on the inside of you. You can do all things. Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Through Christ connects you to your purpose, God's will for your life. Once you connect to God's will, God's plan, God's purpose, there's a new power. There's a new potential that was untapped that you didn't even know was there. And it's amazing when you get away from your purpose, there's a dimension in potential. Connection to purpose, then potential begins to be released. Again, in my own life, I've watched this. I've watched this in other people's lives as I've pastored and as I've encouraged people in God's will for their life and in God's purpose for their life. How many of you understand that faith is like a power, and it's a huge power? Jesus said that if you have faith, and you speak to this mountain and you command this mountain to be removed and to be cast into the sea, if you believe in your heart, doubt not in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. I'm telling you, moving a mountain into a sea is great power. But can I get a witness? You can't use that power, and that power won't work for ungodly gain. That power, that potential to remove mountains is connected to God's will, connected to God's purposes. And it will not work unrelated to God's will and God's purpose. I'm saying to you that there is a potential on the inside of each and every one of you that is untapped until you connect to God's purpose for your life. And you'll be just as surprised at God's potential as I was when you begin to connect to purpose. All right, number six, your purpose creates passion. It creates passion and energy for life. I've mentioned this a couple of times. And in our first session, I talked about a guy cooking at 2:00 in the morning. And why do I watch? And how could a guy be cooking at 2:00 in the morning? Amen. I've had a lot of you write me and call me and run me down and say, you do know he's really not up at 2 cooking. Yes. It was probably recorded at 9:00, but don't miss the point. It's 2:00 in the morning and I'm watching him cook, amen? And why am I watching him at 2:00 in the morning cook? It's passion and it's energy. The guy's not cooking. Some people, well, most people, well, all of us should cook sometimes. But some people are not called to cook. Some people are called to be a chef. And there is a difference. And I've discovered it. I could go to school to learn to cook. I could discipline myself in spices and all this kind of stuff. But I'm not called to be a chef. Come on, honey, help me out here. I'm not called to be a chef. There's a difference. And a guy or girl that's called to be one, when they connect to that purpose, there's a passion created. See, some of you are trying to figure out, where's your passion? It's connected to your purpose. Where's the energy for life? It's connected to your purpose. And when you're unconnected to God's will, you will lose passion and you will lose an energy for life. In John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief, that's the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance. Hallelujah. The abundant life comes from God and walking with God and abiding in God and God abiding in us and now connecting us to our purpose. You will not see passion until you're doing what God's called you to do, until you're abiding in God's purpose and will for your life. And you'll lose an energy for life. I've seen young people that are constantly complaining about having no energy and passion. But have you ever seen a young person that seems to have no passion, seems to have no energy for life, but listen, when they take up a cause, they become fanatics, Looney Tunes, crazy, filled with passion and energy and screaming at you, and why won't you take up the cause? Where'd all that passion come from? Where'd that energy come from? They got connected to a purpose. They got connected to a cause. Can you imagine if they can get connected to God's purpose for their life? God's cause. Take up Jesus' cause. What's going to happen to them? That's what's happened to me. That's what's happened to many of you. As you get connected to purpose, there's a new passion. There's a new energy for life, a reason to get up. You know, I love you, but some of you, you just won't read your Bible. I'm not trying to condemn you or put you down, but you just don't see the purpose. And so you don't take even 5 minutes to read a few passages every day and meditate in God's Word. But you know what? If this service ended and I stood at the back of the church and I met every one of you individually and said, next week you are teaching a class on this subject, I bet you'd read your Bible this week. I bet you'd pray this week. I bet you would study hard, and all of a sudden you'd have a passion, and all of a sudden you'd have a new energy. You'd find time that you didn't think was there. Why? Once you got connected to a purpose, it caused passion and an energy for life. And I'd like to say that if I wasn't pastoring, I would study as hard as I study and pray as long as I pray and search things out and make sure I'm not only right about something, but I'm preaching it in love. And there's a lot goes into what I do. And I'd like to believe that if I stepped down from pastoring, I'd have that same passion and that same energy. I know I would still read my Bible. I'm confident of that. I know I would still pray. I know that I would still study and seek God. But if truth be told, I don't know that I would do it at the level I'm doing it, because see, I know I've got to stand up here and I've got to speak the truth in love. I've got to make some sense of what I'm saying so that purpose creates passion and an energy to search the Scriptures. Does that make sense? Everything in life works that way, and God's plan works that way. All right, number 7, your purpose blesses you and others without exception. Your purpose in life will always bless you, make you happy, fulfill you, bring a joy, and it'll always bless other people. This is how you know God's plan. This is how you know God's will is not that just you get blessed, but that you are blessed and others are blessed. Genesis chapter 12, our father Abraham, verses 2 and 3. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. Think about that for a minute. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the whole earth will be blessed through you. So God didn't just come to Abraham and say, listen to me carefully, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you famous for you. Did you know that would be unhealthy? That would be ungodly. Do you know one of the unintended consequences of social media that is destroying young people's lives that many of us don't have the discernment to see right now is their unhealthy desire to be famous, their unhealthy desire to be known all over the world. They will vomit and say things that should never be said, even face to face, much less to the whole world. They're saying and posting and doing things that one day they will regret and lament, that are in some cyberspace vacuum that cannot be retreated, recovered, retracted. It's dangerous, this unhealthy desire to be famous, to be known. On the other hand, God wants to make your name great, and God wants you to be famous. What does that mean? He doesn't want you to have an unhealthy desire to be known, an unhealthy after the flesh desire to be famous, but He wants to be so big in you. He wants to be so great in you. He wants to be so mighty in you that your name is great because of His name being written on your forehead. Hallelujah. Amen. It's difficult to explain this and to balance this out. Some of you would literally choke and others croak if someone came through the door and said, "Thus saith the Lord, Brother Dwayne, I'm going to make your name great. Brother Dwayne, you shall be famous." That would freak some of you out. Amen or oh me. And yet God said it to the father of our faith, and thousands of years later, we're still talking about this guy. But it ain't because of some post he made or some tweet he tweeted to be seen of men, to be known of men. There's a balance in this. All I can tell you, though, is when God blesses you, He always tends and intends to make you a blessing. This is how you can know it's God. This is how you can know it's God's plan. Over the years, I'm not being critical. Everybody be cool on this. But there'll be people come to me and say, "Pastor, you've taught me God's will is for me to be happy." Yes and amen. "You've taught me God's will is for me to be blessed. And I'm going to change this in my life and I'm going to go do this to be happy. It must be God's will for me to do this because I believe it'll make me happy. And it's God's will." It's a religious demon is what it is. But it's God's will that I be happy. Not at the unhappiness and expense of the happiness of all those around you. Y'all didn't get it. 8 of you, 9 of you got it. Yeah, maybe what you think you want to do will make you happy, but you're devastating lives all around you and making everyone else unhappy by your actions, even in the name of so-called God. When I am blessed by God, He always makes me a blessing. And that's how you know it's God, not your flesh. Amen. You know, I hesitate to say what just came into my mind right there, and I'm trying to discern right now, is this God or is this me? Should I say it? Should I not? It's a risk. But to this day, I am not comfortable and do not like being in front of people. Nobody's going to believe that. Amen or oh me. See how dangerous it is to say that? Because everything you seem to see about me and everything about my life appears to be the opposite. But after the flesh, I don't want any of it. I'm in the UK this coming week with Andrew Womack, and we'll be doing a conference. It's a huge conference in the UK, and they'll be streaming this year. And it'll be live in the UK, and then there's an interview. This station is wanting to interview me after the conference. I'm not comfortable with that at all. I'm uneasy with that at all. I would prefer to reach thousands of people and you not know who I am or see me. I missed my call. I should be in radio. I've got a face for radio. Amen. There is nothing in my flesh that enjoys the hundreds of thousands of people that literally will hear this, and everything after my flesh still to this day cringes about that. Yet I want to reach hundreds and thousands of people. So it's a paradox. It's a quandrum on the inside of me that, man, I want to reach more people, but I want to stay private. This is one of the ways I know that I know it's God's will. It's because I'm not trying to make it happen. I'm not coveting it. I'm not wanting to be famous. I was in Walmart in a foreign country, so I got to be careful after I just talked about a foreign country, but in a distant land. And two young teenagers with their pants falling off of them. I mean, my heart just breaks for young people. I mean, I'm in a strange stage in my life. All my friends, they got their pants jacked way up here. All the people I'm reaching can't pull their pants up. It's just terrible. And so their pants are about to fall off. They walked by me and they were whispering. And then finally one of them got the courage to come up and ask me, point blank, are you somebody famous? And I said, absolutely not. And walked off. They ran me down and said, you're not Dwayne Sheriff. We thought you were Dwayne Sheriff. And I said, well, I am Dwayne Sheriff. Well, then you are famous. And here's what they did. Can we take a picture with you? Listen, my grandma watches you every day. She's going to be so excited. So there I am in Walmart, my pants all jacked up, their pants falling off. But how many of you know grandma was blessed? Hallelujah. Amen. Grandma was blessed. I just assumed no one ever come up to me the rest of my life and go, are you famous or are you Dwayne? Are you? Because there's a downside to this that people have no idea. And if you start talking about it, nobody's going to get it. The bottom line is God has blessed me but made me a blessing. And God will bless you in your calling and make you a blessing. That's how you know God's purpose for your life. Number eight, your purpose is seen and known by others. This is powerful. Your purpose is seen and known by others. God is not keeping your purpose a secret, even if some of you don't know what it is. God is not on purpose hiding his purpose from you. God is not on purpose keeping your purpose a secret. It's just many times we struggle seeing it, but listen, other people see God's purpose in your life. That's why we're to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. It's why we come together. It's why we get in life groups. It's why we live life together, is we build relationships with people we can trust. How many of you understand you can't trust everybody? Amen. Let me just say it this way. You can't trust most people. And trust, by definition, has to be earned. Forgiveness can be given freely, but trust has to be deserved. Trust has to be earned. And that comes from living life together. And you need people in your life that can see things in you you can't see, and specifically can see the good things in you you can't see. The devil sends a lot of people that sees the bad in all of us. And usually it's no surprise. Have you ever noticed that when somebody says something bad about you, you go, duh. Of course I'm a jerk. I'm letting a lot of stuff go. But when somebody comes and says something good, how many people recoil? How many people argue with me, debate with me when I say, God loves you so much? No, he doesn't. God has a good plan for you. No, he doesn't. God wills for you to succeed. He can't because I'm not doing a very good job. Just argue with me. There's good in you. No, there's not. You're good at something. No, I'm not. Well, dear God, you're good at debating. Go get a lawyer's degree. Everybody is good at something. And God wills for you to be blessed in that and be a blessing again to others. And I'm telling you, other people can see it when you can't. It's amazing to me looking back how others saw things my whole life in me I couldn't see or that I rejected. Amazing, just absolutely amazing to me. In 2 Corinthians 13:1, Paul says, this is the third time I am coming to visit you. And as the scriptures say, the facts of every case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Well, one of the every cases that needs established is God's purpose for your life. God isn't keeping it a secret. And even if you and I are struggling with it, he's showing it to people around us that love us. And they can see things in us we can't see. And that's why counsel is so important, and healthy counsel is so important. Healthy relationships are so important so that we can discover God's plan. Look with me at the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 22 in the Amplified Bible. Where there is no counsel, no witnesses, no one hearing and seeing the same thing you're hearing and seeing, where there is no counsel, purposes are frustrated. Think of how many people you know, and perhaps some of you still, you're just so frustrated in life. It's because you've not submitted to sound counsel. You say you want help, but then when you get some, you reject it, and it creates all this frustration. Purposes are frustrated, but with many counselors, they are accomplished. God's will is accomplished in our lives. God's will is fulfilled when we allow multiple witnesses to see the good in us that's in God that He preordained before the foundations of the world. And again, this was a mystery. I've never heard anybody talk like this to this day. And yet, looking back, I remember my dad took me fishing, and we had to rent this boat and motor, and we fished all day, didn't catch anything. And then we docked the boat back at the boat ramp where he had to go in and pay for it and settle up. And I was fishing out the back of the boat. And the owner came out there and said, "I don't know what that boy's going to be, but he'll be committed." He saw loyalty, faithfulness, commitment, endurance, steadfastness in a mission. And how many of you know you can't fulfill God's will if those things aren't involved in your life? A preacher brought me home from a meeting one time and had to help me into the house. I was so exhausted and just totally drained. I'm like 13 years old. And the preacher looks at my mom and dad and says, "He lost his voice praying." That's not natural. Amen or oh me. The preacher knew there's a divine connection here, and this guy's seeking God. This guy loves God. But it wasn't fostered. It wasn't coached in me. I came up to my dad. I'm 14 years old, around that age. And I remember I can feel the environment. I feel the pole barn. We're in Orlando, Florida. And I had been to church on my own, walked to the nearest church. And I came home and I was crying. And I said, "Dad, could I go to church every day?" How many of you know that was a clue? That was a sign? That was a bell ringing, a light flashing? And I should have heard something down the line of, "Boy, you really have a hunger and love for God. Maybe there's a call on your life for ministry." But I heard, "Son, are you okay? Have you lost your mind?" And I understand that now. I didn't understand it then. I understand it now. I mean, the dead churches I grew up in, I would have had to lose my mind to go every time the doors opened. But what I went to church and what church had become, it wasn't God's plan for church. God's plan for church is that we be excited and that we enjoy God and that we seek God and it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want to go there. The point I'm trying to make is I can give you sign markers. I can give you symptoms and things that were screaming God's purpose. And I didn't have anybody in my life to coach me in it. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5 and 18, now watch this, connected to purpose. Verse 5 says, "Counsel in the heart of man is like water in a deep well, but a man of understanding draws it out." What's the purpose of counsel? What's the purpose of healthy relationships? Isn't for me to impose my will on you. Isn't for me to live my life vicariously through you. A good parent does not live their lives vicariously through their children. A good parent watches their children and sees what God has put in them, sees what God wills for their life, and simply fosters and helps guide and coach them in what God is telling them to do. Amen or oh me, a couple of good parents. A good counselor draws out of you what's already in you, not put stuff in you. And again, it could take hours to explain good counseling. Because some of you are looking for a witness to do a piece of stupid. And you'll come to me and I'll go, no. You'll go to your parents and they'll say no. You'll go to all your friends and they'll say no. But you'll go to about 100 people and finally one person will go, that's a good idea. And you think you just got a witness finally. No. No, you need healthy relationships and people that love you enough to tell you the truth. And I'm telling you, others can see in you what you can't see in yourself and draw it out. Look at verse 18. Purposes and plans. Isn't that what we're talking about? God's purpose, God's plan for our life. Watch this. Purposes and plans are established by what? In other words, there's somebody to bear witness to God's call on my life, and I need to listen. And only with good advice make or carry on war. So that is a sign and a symptom, a clue, if you will, of God's purpose is what others see in us. Number nine, your gifts and talents match your purpose. God knew before the foundations of the world, here's my purpose for you. And when he created you in your mother's womb, he gave you gifts and talents that match that purpose. And what a lot of people want to do is their own purpose, seek their own plans, and now try to change themselves to match their plans. No, you just need to discover what are your gifts and what are your talents, because God put those in you to match a purpose. We've all instinctively known this and seen this. We've seen someone, watch, and we've gone, wow, they are so gifted. We've all heard people saying that we knew, man, and bore witness immediately. They are called by God. They're gifted. Then we've heard some of you, and the jury's not even out. There was no hung jury on this judgment. Amen or oh me. And you can take all the singing lessons on this planet and get the best voice coaches in the world, and if you aren't gifted, you can't make it happen. See, my gifts came from God. Romans chapter 11, verse 29, the Bible says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God's not going to change his mind. God gifted you in your mother's womb for a certain purpose. He gave you talents for a certain purpose, a certain plan where you could be blessed and where you could bless humanity, your fellow man, where you could love God now, love yourself and love your neighbor as yourself. All of that was put on the inside of you, but you have to discover it. Then you have to develop it. Then you have to deploy it. You got to act on your gifts and your talents. And I'm telling you, you're gifted at something. Everybody is by God. How many of you know that a fish was created by God and it has certain gifts given by God that match its purpose? It has an aquatic purpose, and so it has to have fins, it has to have scales, it has to have, listen, gills. If it doesn't have gills, gifted by God, it's not going to make it underwater. Amen? So its gifts match its purpose. How many of you know the purpose of birds has an aerodynamic dimension to it? And so its gifts match its purpose. It has feathers and is gifted with feathers because its purpose is to fly. It's gifted by God with hollow, light bones. Why? Why does it have that gift? So it can fly. And how many of you know, even within the bird species, there's different gifts that match different purposes. Everybody knows and has seen an owl. An owl has nocturnal ocular enhancement. What? What did he say, Gertrude? I don't know, Elmer Thud. I said nocturnal ocular enhancement. It can see at night. It flies at night. It flies through the woods in the dark. It hunts at night. Nocturnal ocular enhancement. A woodpecker does not have nocturnal ocular enhancement. It's not gifted in the same way. Why? It has a different purpose. The woodpecker has a hard head. Can I get a witness? And a beak and a long tongue so that it can extract bugs behind bark. What if the woodpecker missed its purpose and it was flying around at night? And what if a crazy preacher was on the back of a mule coon hunting and the woodpecker crashes into the wood, into the preacher's forehead? We have a new dimension and meaning to vehicular homicide. You could just see it in the paper, crazy preacher involved in vehicular homicide, mule is depressed. I'm not created with nocturnal ocular enhancement, so I don't feel comfortable on the back of a mule running through the woods chasing a raccoon. I wasn't gifted for that. Sorry, Chief. If you weren't here last week, let it go. Bottom line is, listen, at first birth, God loved you so much, and God's grace was involved in your first birth. We talk about the grace of God, and we connect it to salvation, and that's proper. But let me tell you something. God's amazing grace was all over you in your mother's womb when He created you, and He gifted you with things you don't deserve and you didn't earn, and you need to give Him glory for your gifts in the natural. In the natural. At second birth, new birth, rebirth, He gave me spiritual gifts. And when you combine all your spiritual gifts with your natural gifts, you are a success waiting to manifest. So that's number nine. Number 10, your purpose, and in your purpose, you feel God's good pleasure. This is the hardest one to communicate. It takes a level of maturity in God to get what I'm saying. I don't know what that level is. I don't know when I transitioned from immaturity to a level of maturity. But as you walk with God, listen, you can feel His good pleasure. You can feel He's pleased with you. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, if it's impossible to please Him without faith, then watch this. My faith is what pleases Him. When I'm walking by faith, when I'm living by faith, it pleases God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Listen, God says, my soul. Did you know God has a soul? My soul shall have no pleasure in him that draws back. God is not pleased when you draw back from your calling. God is not pleased when you draw back from relationship with Him. But the opposite is true, that when you press into your purpose, to your calling, God is pleased. God finds pleasure. Look at Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. I'm not working hard to get saved, but because I am saved, I'm working hard to manifest the fruit, byproduct of it. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Watch this now. Verse 13 says, for God is working in you. I believe that. God's not just working in me, He's working in you. Now watch this. Giving you the desire. He's changing your desires. And the power to do what pleases Him. When you do what God wills for your life, He's pleased. I have learned to feel the good pleasure of the Lord, and I can tell when He's not pleased with me. Now, listen to me. I got to be careful here. I'm not saying God ever gets angry with me or mad at me, but I can tell when He's pleased, and I can tell when, I'm heading in a direction that doesn't please Him. I knew it would be hard. It's hard to communicate a feeling. And yet there is a place that you know and you sense inside, God is pleased. And then there's a time you know in your heart, God's not pleased with the steps you're taking and the direction you're going. And all of you know that. You know when you're doing something wrong. Amen or oh me. You know it on the inside. You may cover it up. You may harden your heart to it. But you know. And you also know when you do something right. When you hit that place in God and stride in God, that you're obeying God and you're doing His will. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, that's you and me, for thy pleasure. They are and were created. You and I were created for God's pleasure. And when we obey God and we follow God, we feel, we sense, we discern that good pleasure of the Lord. All right, I created more questions during this series than in recent history, and yet that's still a good thing. You're never going to get any answers if you don't have any questions. And so I can't answer every question, especially in the middle of the series. But one of the questions that was asked the most is, okay, I hear what you're saying. Especially last week when I talked about five clues, five signs, and then now this week we've covered all 10. So more questions are going to come. Here's the question that I want to end with and answer. What if there's three or four things I'm good at and I'm bearing fruit in? What if doing this over here, I really do love and I'm good at it? But I also love and I'm good at this over here, and it's two unrelated fields. How do I know what God's will is? How do I know what God's plan is? The answer, in conclusion, is twofold. And number one, in your related field, some of these 10 will manifest. What do I mean by related field? When you get on the ball field of God's will for your life, that's the related field I'm talking about. In other words, if you're called to be a doctor, anytime you get around medicine, healthcare, serving someone hurting, you're on the ball field. Okay, that didn't work. If you're called to be a mechanic, I mean, you're called to be a mechanic, you love fixing broke stuff. You're not fixing cars yet, but you're breaking stuff to fix it. Okay. If you are called to be a farmer, I got four kids and one's called, let's say, to be a farmer. The kid that is eating dirt is the farmer. Am I making sense yet? This is important. I need to close right because this answers a lot of questions. How do I know God's will wasn't that I play tennis and make a living playing tennis? Because I did love it. I had a passion for it. And to a level, I was good at it. Some of the 10 were manifesting when I was doing tennis. Why? I was teaching, for instance. I was on the playing field. And I was good at teaching tennis. I was fruitful. It was anointed. See, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And when I was teaching tennis, I had an anointing to teach. I was on the related field teaching, but it wasn't tennis. Now watch this. When you get on the field, the playing field, some of these will manifest, but watch this. In your sweet spot or center of the field, most, if not all, will manifest. And that disappoints me. It sure is quiet. Usually with you, that means you're thinking. Other churches, the graveyard just moved inside. We want to keep the graveyard outside and you alive inside. Maybe you're processing because it sure got quiet. I am in my sweet spot right now. I'm in the center of God's plan for my life. It took me a while to get there. And when I got on the playing field, I started seeing some of these 10 manifest. Today, all 10 are functioning, all 8 cylinders, each one. Just get on the ball field. Quit stressing over this and all anxious about it. And just get on the ball field. And as you walk with God, you'll get closer to your sweet spot. You'll get closer to the center of God's plan for your life. And the closer you get, the more of these 10 will start manifesting. Anybody get anything out of this? Father, I thank you for your good pleasure. I thank you that your plan is a good plan for each and every one of us. I thank you that you're changing our desires to match your plan. You don't want us miserable in your will. You want us blessed and a blessing to others. Help us to communicate these. Help us in next steps to get people into the ball field, to get them onto the field, to get them at least in their little book or a page in their little book. And I just thank you for helping me and helping me help others. In Jesus' name, amen.